From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in cheesy Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Stephen McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Arthur Croy, I too make nice games. This week, we're back to the drawing board for another Nice Thinking, where one of your nice hosts or nice guests brings in an idea to the clubhouse to workshop on air. And so, if everyone is ready, let's start. Listeners won't hear this, but I flubbed a little in the intro.
We definitely want to make sure they hear this.
Okay, they may hear this. But then I ended up thinking, oh, I can recover.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then I did, the timing with the flub to end the...
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a whole soulful science. Oh. Like.
Yeah. It's, yep, that's just today, man. Just today.
Sorry, Dale. I'm assuming Dale's editing this. Anyways, so we got a nice thinking.
Yeah, we got
an idea. Ellen has brought in a topic for us to discuss as a group.
Yes. Yep, no meta today, only pizza.
Let me explain
why. So I have nephews, and I have three nephews, but only two of them are talking. And because the other one's like barely beyond one, so he's not there yet.
Don't make excuses for that one.
And the other nephews are 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they love playing games, and they love dinosaurs, and they love pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And mac and cheese. They love all the things that I love, really.
Yeah.
Godzilla. Like, basically, yeah.
Explosions?
I'm a seven-year-old boy, I guess. Yes. Yes, absolutely, Steven.
Of course.
So we were playing games one day. We go over there for like a weekly brunch on Sundays, most weekends. And so we have like, they're like, uncle makes breakfast or... We bring McDonald's and we have a nice hangout. And after we eat breakfast, then I am dragged bodily down the stairs into the basement where they have like this big playroom. And we play dodgeball, or we play Floor is Lava, or we play other, like board games and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the board games that we have is Candyland.
Yeah.
And I was playing with one of my nephews because it was one of the weekends where the other nephew was not present. And we were playing Candyland. We were having a good time. And I don't remember which one of us suggested it, but like we were talking about pizza, and wouldn't it be fun to have Pizza Land instead of Candyland?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it came, you know, things progressed, and I committed to making a game called Pizza Land. And then I forgot about it,
right?
So I made the commitment, and then I forgot. Bad thing for not to do.
Right. Then it became a problem, and then you're bringing the problem here to the clubhouse.
Well, right. Kids don't let you forget things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
not things when they're as important as Pizza Land. So
yeah, when my nephews learned I had a VR headset. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. You should have kept that a secret, right?
Yeah.
Maybe when they're like 8 or 9, we can talk about that. So I, you know, was reminded we had to do Pizza Land. And so this last Sunday, we went over for brunch and I had brainstormed. And you guys can see the spreadsheet where I did this brainstorming.
Mm-hmm.
I basically made a spreadsheet. You're welcome, Stephen.
Kids are never too young for spreadsheets.
True.
I did not share the spreadsheet with the kids.
Oh, well, okay.
Sorry. Not quite there. Maybe when they're in third grade. What I did was I put out, like, okay, here are all the main pieces of Candyland, traditional, original Candyland,
mm-hmm.
and here's all the things that we needed to do to swap it and basically make a clone called Pizza Land.
Right. This is right now, you're looking at, like, the USAopoly version, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But you're actually thinking about, based on the prompts from your nephews, about making this more than just a simple reskin.
Yes. Well, that leads us right into the next part of the story, Mark. So I brought this list there, and I'm like, okay, guys, we played dodgeball for a while. We played Floor is Lava. We got some of the energy out. And then we're like, now we're going to do some art. And so we got all the art supplies. We got the paper. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you guys some names of some things that we're going to put into Pizza Land. And I want you to do your best at drawing them. And none of those things got drawn. None. I'm like, can you draw a... like red pepper flakes fairy. And one nephew looked at me and was like, I'm going to draw a knight. And the other one looked at me and just dropped the marker. I'm like,
serves you right, actually.
How about like pepperoni mountains? And he like picks up the marker and he drops it.
Wow.
And I'm like, you just draw whatever you want, man. So one nephew drew, and we can go through the drawings, you guys can see, some things we could put in the game that are not pizza related.
Right.
The other nephew is very keenly into, like, I'm going to make him into a game designer for sure, because he's very into rules. He, like, really is curious about structure, and he's a very curious kid.
Kid after my own heart.
Yeah, for sure. And he, I was like, okay, we're making a game about Pizza Land. And so he incorporated, he's like, okay, you got to be able to choose a character, and you got to have bosses.
And of course.
You have to have monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Candyland's missing.
Right. These are not things that are in the original Candyland. So here I was thinking, okay, I can make a clone of Candyland. It'll be Pizza Land, and it'll be fun. And the kids will outgrow in it a couple years anyway, and it'll be great.
Right.
No. Now, my 7-year-old nephew is like, you need to add mechanics. And he's doing scope creep on me. And I can't I can't say no.
Start
because
him young.
He's my nephew.
Oh, goodness.
So now we have monsters and boss fights, and we got to figure out how to make that work with Pizza Land.
Do you need online multiplayer? Or... Oh, goodness.
I mean, let's show them the next iteration, and then they can come back with
the request. Oh, that's good. Okay, so is our task to design Pizza Land?
Yeah, I got to figure out how to get these other things into the game of Pizza Land.
Okay.
So I think we need to identify a couple of things to make this work.
Okay.
And interrupt me or disagree with me, if you like. We need a couple of constraints, like what things it needs to have.
Yeah.
Or what things it, you know, need, what goals it needs to meet. Also, I think we need a list of, like, the, it's kind of the same thing, like the musts from your nephews, right? Mm. And then we need to filter that through what Candyland has, because then we can get rid of the stuff that doesn't either meet the theme or your nephew's fickle demands.
Yeah.
right?
No, I think they're very committed to the request that they made now. That knight better show up in the game.
Yeah. But I think, like, I guess this is just my roundabout way of saying, like, I need to familiarize myself a little bit with Candyland.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically a roll the die, move the spaces. It's not much more complicated than that, right? It's a very all ages.
It's a kind of chance based race across the board game.
Right.
And you can go to Google and pull up a picture of Candyland. The Candyland, there are various iterations of the board that they've remade throughout the years. But if you just look up Candyland, you go to images, you can find the Candyland board in many different versions and just kind of see what it does. And it's pretty self-explanatory, right? You've got this very colorful board. And you guys looking at pictures?
Yeah. I'm seeing that. So there's each tile is a different color of like 8 different colors. And there's a very small number of special icons, which I guess are like the different lands through the...
Right?
I'm remembering a little bit.
Yeah, like roll a die or spin a thingy or something, and then you have to move to the color that you get, right?
I think the idea is that it's essentially like rolling a die, but you don't have to do any numbers counting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I think if I remember correctly, I think they have like a there was actually like a deck, and you like drew from the deck.
Right.
But it could be a spinner, it could be a die, it could mm-hmm. be, you know, but you draw your thing or you roll your thing, and you move to the next tile of that color.
Right.
But some of the tiles have hazards on them, right? So they're and some of them have benefits, right? So if you see the board here, if you go to the second red tile, there's Rainbow Trail, and you can take Rainbow Trail. If you land on that red tile, and that lets you pass, like skip like a whole section of the board.
Okay. Right.
And then here, I'll post the link to the image that I am.
I'm looking at the WikiHow instructions on how to play Candyland.
Oh goodness.
And it's really spell like unfold the Candyland board and lay it flat on a flat surface.
Oh.
Find a flat surface like a dining table. Like that's a little bit more detail than we need.
Yeah. We're good, WikiHow. Like more words, not better. Why use menu words when I don't remember what the office quote is? We'll get it right in the show notes.
So at the age that your nephews are at, they can roll a die and count spaces.
Oh, yeah. They're no great trouble. At counting.
Yeah. So I think some of the things about Candyland being suitable for like ages 3 and up, is that something you want to hold on to?
Yeah. I mean, like I want both of my nephews, both of my older nephews to be able to play it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
By the time youngest nephew is old enough to enjoy Candyland, older nephews will probably no longer be interested in doing Candyland or Pizza Land.
Right.
Though I could see them occasionally being like, hey, do you want to learn Pizza Land as a kick?
Right.
But yeah.
So it's okay that we move this from 3+ to 6, 7+.
5+, plus. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, if we're going to put a boss battle in there.
Some
token counting or something.
Yeah.
That might be a little bit harder for a three-year-old.
It's actually interesting that there could be, like, if we did dice as the movement, we could also repurpose dice as, like, boss battles.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. For damage dealing or something?
Then we're just, like, sneaking them into D&D, which is also a goal. That's a stretch goal, perhaps.
Right. That's right. Not only do we have that it needs to be a spin on Candyland, it needs to follow the dictatorial commands of your older nephews, you also have demands of this.
Yes.
Because you're guiding these young minds.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So, like, one idea I had, this is, like, the real lazy way of doing it, honestly, is to just, like, there's these little spaces where if you land on them, you're stuck on a licorice space or whatever, you lose a turn.
Mm-hmm.
That could just be a boss battle.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
I did it.
Cool. How do you
beat the
boss?
Marker drop. I don't know if you... Okay, so I don't know... I mean, I was literally just changing the theme so that instead of you getting stuck on a licorice space, you have to fight a boss.
Right.
But, like, if you lose a turn to fight a boss, that doesn't make any sense, right? Well, I mean, it makes sense, but, like... None of this makes sense, but
yeah, free yourself of that restriction,
right? But like, it could be like some kind of a reward or something. Maybe you lose a turn, but like you get some kind of a bonus.
Yeah, I like if you're it's a random encounter.
Yes,
is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And it should bother you, but also you should get some reward
right.
for the inconvenience.
Right, and so as a result, like you beat the boss, whatever this boss is, mm-hmm. automatically, but you just lose the turn.
Right,
to
and
do
you
it.
Get a stamp on your card, and then yeah. you get 10, and you get a slice for free.
Yeah. Right. Right, exactly.
Oh, I like that.
I'm actually not kidding about that as a mechanic.
Really cool.
Although, that might be lost on a six-year-old.
Yeah. It could be for adults, too.
If it does end in pizza, that will not be lost on them.
Right.
Yeah.
But I also like the idea of, like, mainly because anytime I think about things for kids,
yeah.
I want to gear them away from a purely competitive experience.
Yes. Oh, sure.
Yes.
Just for, you know, Saturday morning cartoon morality reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be something where if somebody gets stuck fighting a creature or a boss or something, a player coming up behind them can elect to stop and help.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
Or they can elect to move on, and there could be, you know, be rewards or consequences for that sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah. That's interesting. And maybe if they help, they also get the bonus or something.
Yeah, it could be like if you have to fight a creature, every creature you fight, and this is lays into D&D a little bit, mm-hmm. you get some experience or you get some token that makes the next battle easier.
Yeah, oh. like a weapon token or something.
Yeah, and so electing to stop and help will help your opponents, but it also can benefit you.
Yeah.
And then you can learn the value of teamwork and all of that.
Right.
But also the encounters can be more and more the bosses can have higher hit points later in the game. So
yeah.
you being maybe there's a mechanic where you can try to roll to sneak away and not do the battle. That'll get you further up the board, but then you better keep sneaking cuz the fights will just get harder.
Yeah.
This is we're already well past Candyland now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. yeah. This is, I think, the direction we need to start thinking though because
But I mean, yeah. I would Steven, mm-hmm. your idea of just like of fighting creatures along the way.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be the entire gameplay loop.
Yeah.
Right? Is make it to the end, you know, and...
That's actually... So what if, like, I think the way that it works in Candyland is if you land on a licorice space, you lose a turn. But what if it was you cannot pass this space until you fight the boss?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody is preoccupied fighting the boss, then another person can go past them because, like, they're dealing with the boss.
Ah, okay.
So it's like a trap. So, like, you... But like, I mean,
it's a little complicated because it's
sure.
an if-then-therefore kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the person in the lead and you stop, then you're blocked. But if,
right.
but you don't have to stop there if somebody else has already stopped there.
Yeah.
That's probably not that complicated. You can even
yeah.
you can even just show that on the board in a UX way. There could be like a little like circle where your token lands,
mm-hmm.
and if that's filled, then the door is opened or something. You know, it's you could explain it visually.
Yeah.
But it does start to be a little more complicated in terms of like what the rules are. You know.
Yeah.
Because there's always siblings will, you know, one person will just, they won't read that one line in the instruction booklet and then it'll be a 20-minute fight.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
And cousins too.
Right.
I'd like that. That's an interesting idea because it kind of has these balance points, but on the game progression through the path is random anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not like if one person is slightly higher skill, they're just going to get like an increasingly bigger and bigger lead.
Right.
So I feel like having the mini bosses along the way be like a stopping point that blocks people from progressing,
mm-hmm.
or blocks one person from progressing, isn't going to really balance things out. It might. Right. I mean, it will. It'll just trade things off, right?
Yeah, I think preserving the randomness, I think. So any balance that's done to should be in service of maintaining a random outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So if you make it to the checkpoint first and you have to fight the thing and you can defeat it before the other player reaches you, then you're out ahead. Mm-hmm. But then that player doesn't have to stop.
Right.
So it's sort of like it. Really, there's no difference.
Yeah.
And that's the illusion that you want in a game like this is you want the less experienced, younger or less strategically minded sibling to also win pretty
much. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, there's not really any choices in Candyland, right? Like you just roll a thing and then something happens and eventually somebody gets to the end and it's random. This way, it's a little bit. There is a blockade, right? So it slows down people in the lead randomly anyways, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of a what's the word? Rubber banding.
Yeah, rubber banding.
A little bit. I guess depending on how we tune it. One thing that I think would be interesting is if we introduce some form of player choice mm-hmm. in this game.
Yeah.
Because I still play Sorry from time to time. I don't know if y'all mm-hmm. play the board game Sorry. Yeah. Still, and that game is very simple too, and it's basically like Candyland, except like you draw cards, and every once in a while you get to bump other people and like make little decisions on which piece you get to move. Yeah. But those small little things are, you know, more interesting than just randomly rolling and moving.
Right, you make the choice to enjoy yourself while playing rather than in the service of some outcome.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe the things you get for beating bosses gives you some kind of a choice in some way. Instead of it being like XP, it could be like maybe it gives you a little color token and you can use that instead of rolling the die to land somewhere.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I like that. If the board is laid out similar to Candyland with colors,
yep.
It could be that the you can choose which monster to fight and that would determine the reward you get.
Oh, okay.
So like this one will, and that could be a real simple risk reward thing that players don't have to, like that's a good way to teach a risk reward is say like, if you fight this monster, you have a 25% chance of winning. And let's just say it's that simple.
Sure.
But you get this great thing. You get to move all the way to the purple square.
Yeah.
You could fight this one, and you've got a 75% chance of winning. Mm-hmm. Or we'd express that as 3 out of 4, more digestible odds.
Right.
But you only get this much. And then it doesn't really matter what the player chooses, because it's all still random in the end.
Yeah.
But then they can kind of enjoy the process of picking well.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or the aw shucks of like playing it safe and still rolling badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like the lose the turn kind of thing. It's like sometimes the odds just come for you.
Right.
And I think it's okay to put that on kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I like that idea. I was thinking of these boss battles as being auto wins. Mostly because, like, I don't know, winning is fun. Kids want to win.
Yeah.
Even if they don't get reversed.
Well, it could be like jail in Monopoly. You just, on your turn, you just keep rolling until you win.
Yeah.
Or you pay the dissenter 200 or whatever.
Yeah, right. If you have some currency to sneak by or to...
I don't think that fits here.
Well, I mean...
Candyland nor Pizza Land.
Well,
you
could get sort of get out of jail style cards.
We could add a dungeon to Pizza Land.
That's not a bad idea. I mean, that could be. I mean, there's something about telling kids to murder that is maybe, you know. I mean, it's. I think kids are capable of abstraction, so I don't think that's necessarily a huge danger. But it could be a case of banishing the monsters to the dungeon instead, and then you could end up in the dungeon. You know. But then you're all just in there playing harmonica. It's not like no one gets in a fight or anything.
Yeah, they're just in the corner, you know, for timeout or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, if you're going to win,
yeah,
then maybe it's just something where you have to roll a die, and if you roll a 6, you win, and so it's not likely going to happen on the first roll. But if it does, oh boy, that's fun.
Oh sure.
And then you're just stuck there until you can roll as the players.
So okay, I mean, so you could just make it so that like you have to roll the color that the space was you're already on again.
Basically. Yeah, or maybe you draw a monster from the deck, and that monster has a color.
Sure.
So it's not different, but it's just more random.
Yeah.
And that would feel more fun.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. And then you get rewarded based off whatever monster you draw.
Yeah.
Potentially. Okay.
Or maybe there's like two decks. There's a monster deck and a treasure deck.
Yeah. Okay.
Or something like that.
Mm. So I want to add in a wrinkle here.
Yeah.
Wrinkles.
Okay, so if you could, Mark, maybe look at the bottom. I don't know if we have all the images. Sorry, other window. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, maybe refresh it. There, that's more like it.
Your husband Eric has put up a bunch of these images.
Yes, he is. He scanned in all the drawings that the kids made. Okay, and I can walk you through them right now. So go back to.
Okay. Oh, we're gonna start from the top.
We can start from the top. Just for a little hiatus.
Well, we're gonna have to put all these in the show notes. Listeners will have to follow along.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. So this first one is a whale.
Okay, I got it.
It's a whale.
It needs to be rotated, but yeah, that's a whale.
Those are sharp teeth for a whale.
It's a sperm whale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have conical teeth. That is a T-Rex.
Yep.
But it's like
but
facing
also on
you.
Fire.
I like that it's on fire. That's really scary.
Uh-huh.
And it's facing you, right? Because the teeth are...
Yeah, yep. I can see it.
Oh, yeah.
It does look like a Dark Souls boss to me. Pretty much all of these look like a Dark Souls boss.
It's honestly really cool.
This is allegedly a Brontosaurus.
Right.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I see it. To me, I can't get it. It's an amoeba with teeth.
Right, yeah, yeah,
I was
yeah.
being sarcastic. I don't see it. No, but yeah.
I don't see it.
I mean, I think the theme, at least for these last two, is like roll on the ground collecting lint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. So,
okay, cat and dog.
They look the same, except for the dog has soulless eyes.
Right, right. That's the difference.
okay, that's just one. A donut.
A donut on blue paper.
I know.
Love it.
See, this is how much they didn't follow directions.
Yeah.
I'm like, please, it's Pizza Land. And he's like, here's a donut.
Yeah.
He chooses chaos.
Well, that's a bagel.
Kids.
Pizza bagel.
Pizza bagel.
Pizza. Thank you, Steven.
Yeah. You're welcome.
No.
I was just too grown
not
to understand.
It's pizza donut.
Pizza donut!
That's like the Excalibur of this universe. Yeah. Pizza donut.
Okay.
That's a reward.
Walking into this session, great. I was thinking we wouldn't have donut in the game, and now pizza donut is in the game.
I mean, we were asked to make this work, and we were going to deliver on this brief.
Okay, cool. Yes. All right, keep it going.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the final boss.
Oh, this is the knight.
Snap. This is Pizza Knight.
Pizza Knight.
He's holding an axe, I think, and he's got a sword.
And it looks like he has a receipt.
I thought that was the axe.
I'm here to return some groceries.
But maybe it is a receipt or like a bag of pizza.
Yeah.
What a monster. He needs to be stopped.
I feel like Pizza Knight should be obsessed with pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But the lesson is that like sharing pizza's to be shared.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Like he's stolen all the pizza from all the land.
Yeah, that's a pretty classic fairy tale conceit, right?
Yep. Yeah.
The sort of like the villain who like realizes that like, oh, maybe it's better to be friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And selfishly, and you know, has a I mean, it's a sword or a pizza cutter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry's out.
Yeah.
I was really imagining it as like a paper bag of pizza, which is the wrong way to deliver pizza.
Yeah. Wait, okay. So his the pizzas he stole are just like whole pizzas, but then the knight discovers that he can slice the pizzas up with his sword. Then give out pizza slices to him.
I really like that.
Yeah.
It's like the knight's conception of pizza is this big bounty.
Yeah.
But then realizing that it can be divided, it opens up a whole world to him.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
That's cool. Let's talk to Netflix.
I want to do children's writing.
Yeah.
Actually, it's kind of a bummer that this is the kind of thing that requires very little narrative.
Yeah.
And so this is already a video game now.
Yeah.
And I want to make it.
We fall in this trap every time.
So yeah. we can start with the board game.
Yeah.
And then we can make Pizza Land 2.
Yes.
As a video game for when they're not like, well, I'm not going to put a timeline on it.
Right.
Screw it.
Well, on the board at the very end, you could have the sort of like the throne of pizzas, just piles and piles of rotting pizza that Pizza Knight doesn't share with their friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the final battle is just, you know, uses whatever mechanics we come to it, but, you know.
Oh, we could make a little book that goes with the game.
I like that, actually. Like, once you cross a chapter, turn the page. Read the next bit.
Mark, high five!
I mean, it's basically D&D now.
Yes!
Yeah, it is.
You know what's also great is for Christmas, I gave them each a copy of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Nice.
Yep.
This is it. This is the strat. Okay.
Okay,
okay, so there's more images
there's
to get
more
through.
Images for sure. Okay, this is...
I really like this one.
So I... He's very spooky. He looks like a Tim Burton character to me.
Uh-huh.
But this is... for some reason, ice cream kept coming up as, like, dessert.
Oh, that's ice cream.
It's an ice cream cone.
Okay, so to me, it looked like a squirrel that got run over.
I was thinking like a squirrel jumping in the air is what I thought it was.
Ah, okay.
I think it's ice cream.
I mean, it's happy.
Leaking out.
Yeah,
of
that's
its
probably
cone.
That's a nicer way of thinking of a squirrel. It's just jumping.
There's only so far we can interrogate these.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, lots of soulless eyes in these drawings. Okay, yeah. Keep going.
Hey, eyes are hard.
Poor listener not following along.
This is a pizza T-Rex.
Okay, okay, so this one's on green, and it's also green.
Yep.
It's like yellowish.
Yellowish, got red dots all over.
That's pepperoni.
Oh,
so the scale of it.
No, actually, it's not pepperoni, because this particular child who drew this T-Rex does not like meat. So it's like, I think, just the sauce peeking through the cheese layer.
Oh, I thought they could have been pepper flakes.
Yeah, pepper flakes. I don't think
I do kind of like the idea, though, of like a mozzarella dragon.
Yeah.
That, like, as it moves, like a marinara sauce just oozes out of it like a cheesy breadstick or something.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay, keep going.
Okay.
What's
great about these is, like, these are all great checkpoint bosses. Yeah. Fits into the conception here.
So we had Pizza T-Rex. This is Pizza Crocodile.
I was going to say Pizza Sandworm.
Dude, Pizza Sandworm is awesome. That's
pizza
an awesome idea.
Sandworm.
But, yeah, that's when we do the licensed version for Dune.
Right.
Dune Pizza Land. And then Pizza Shark.
Pizza Shark, of course. Yeah. You can't have a Pizza Land game without a Pizza Shark.
Well, there are 6 and 7, like I said, right? Mm-hmm. So it's dinosaurs, crocodiles, and sharks.
Yeah.
This kid, quick aside, I'm like, hey, what did you learn about in school this week? He's like, I learned about gyrals. And they're like, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it, but it's like a crocodilian that has a very narrow, like, completely obscure thing that this kid just knows. So amazing. Kids are so cool, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing about a kid is every fact is equal.
Yeah.
When you're a kid.
Yeah.
Because you're not burdened by the context of the world. There's something really lovely about that.
Yeah.
This is other nephew who is currently into rocks. So this is a pizza rock.
Ah. It looks like a pizza geode.
It's a pizza geode.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, basically a calzone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. That's good. That's good.
To fit all the ideas we have for this game, we're going to need to double the size of the board.
Yeah, yeah.
Pizza pyramid.
Pizza pyramid, of course.
That's just a pizza.
No, it's three-dimensional, Stephen.
I see. Okay. You stack some pizza slices on top of one another in a pyramid.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now these are my drawings.
Okay.
These don't count, Ellen.
No, right? Because I went through and I'm like, okay,
of sauce. It's helpfully labeled.
It's the sea of sauce.
Uh-huh.
Right, because in traditional Candyland, you've got things like gingerbread
marinara,
tree, peppermint
barbecue,
forest.
And the Alfredo. That's what it looks like.
Right, so I tried to replace those with fun, like, alliterative and rhyming things. Like, instead of gingerbread tree, we would do the doughy desert. And instead of peppermint forest, we would do the sea of sauce and cheesy peaks. And
I'm looking at your
pests.
Spreadsheet now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So garlic bread grove was one that Eric suggested, and I freaking
That's
love it.
Pretty good.
So while the kids were drawing whatever the hell, I was drawing the sea of sauce, and I was thinking, okay, I'll draw the sea of sauce, and I'll show
Someone's
it to them.
Someone's a little bit salty that we like those other drawings so much. A
little bit.
That's the garlic bread grove.
I like it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's pizza dough desert.
Pizza dough desert.
With a desert pizza cactus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, nice, nice. Oh, that's... I like that a lot, actually.
That's just a man-made of pizzas, you guys.
Yep. Man-made of pizzas, of course.
Gotta have one of those. Pizza toad.
Another man-made of pizzas.
Another man-made of pizzas. There's something about kids' drawings where they just have arms and legs just spread out. It just seems like they're just having a great time.
Yeah.
This particular one, he doesn't have hips. He has a pizza crust.
Right.
So... That's it.
These are brilliant.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, listeners, take a peek at those.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where this whole thing started. Was my older nephew who drew like the man made of pizzas and the pizzasaurus and the pizza cheese saurus, because there were two pizzasauruses, and the pizza crocodile and the pizza shark.
Yeah.
He said, "Here, these can be the monsters that are chasing you through the map."
Oh, right, chasing through the map.
Okay.
So
think about that.
Right. So like, what if some of the monsters? You know, we could maybe have hazards on the board, but what if we also had monsters who were like NPCs that were racing behind you? So everyone starts the game, and then the monsters start the next turn, and they're following
you. All the monsters just want, well, I guess all the monsters are pizza themed. So this would maybe be kind of gruesome. But when we all the monsters want to get to the end before the players do, because they'll eat all the pizzas.
Yeah.
So we'd love for you to join us on Discord at nicegames.club/discord. Mm-hmm. But you've heard us say that before.
Yes.
What we really want to hear from you is about the nature of the Discord.
Yeah.
So the way we do it, if you have never visited before, is that we have a channel in the Twin Cities IDGA chapter Discord Nice Games Club.
Mm-hmm.
And that Discord also has information about games local to the Twin Cities community, events put on by IDGA, of which I'm a board member, and so a lot of stuff about our local community. But yeah. And it's been a while now, but Nice Games Club has an international audience.
It does.
And so we'd like to hear your thoughts about what we should do with the Discord community, because we thought about moving it either to its own server or to the Noble Robot server, which would be a place where other shows that would record here would have, and games that are produced by Noble Robot or by us. So we've had talk, but we haven't really settled on what we want to do.
Yeah.
And we just don't know if where it is right now is the best place for it going forward.
Right. And so the best place to get to gather feedback about that is through our Discord channel that we already have.
Yeah, and it's a pretty active community there already.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not you, you can find it at nicegames.club/discord. And let us know what you think. But, you know, on top of that, just go there for the normal reasons.
Right.
Talk about the show.
Yes.
Like, you know, what you, you know, all sort of... this is in the middle of the episode, so I don't know how many pizza references we've done yet. So I wanted to call back to one, but I wasn't sure if it was in the first half. So I'm gonna forego. But talk about pizza this and that.
Yes.
Because, you know, your thoughts on what we should make for Ellen's nephews.
Yeah. Favorite pizza topping. Go. Nicegames.club/discord.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, here we go.
Uh-huh.
So, Mark hit on us like sauce.
I'm going to try to give us a framework which we could start plugging in some of these creatures.
Got it.
And things.
Okay.
Okay, so I like the idea of it should be players versus monsters.
Okay.
Yes.
Right? A race to Pizza Mountain.
Yeah.
Or a race to the Pizza Knight.
Yeah.
And the monsters, of course, they just want to go fight and defeat the Pizza Knight.
Mm.
But you, the players, you want to go and
befriend
win
the Pizza Knight
over.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Players don't have to know that. It's going to be in the story.
Yeah.
The instruction manual.
So let's say there are four checkpoints along the way.
Okay.
That sound right?
Sure. Okay.
Four plus pizza night.
Mm-hmm.
And so the board can be, if it's maybe 15 spaces per, how many spaces does Candyland have? Kind of a lot.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Count them off.
100. I'm just going to say 100.
I mean, how many lands are in Candyland?
There are quite a few. It's on the it's on the spreadsheet.
Oh, okay, sure. Oh, so it is quite a lot.
Yeah. There are nine.
I think the 10? Mechanically, I think if someone's chasing you, you want that to happen over a couple of turns.
Yeah.
And so I think we might have to have fewer locations or a much longer, many more spaces between.
Or different monsters that chase you through different lands. But I think what you're saying, if we have even a different monster through different lands, we only need probably like four of them.
Right? Yeah. Because I was thinking of two different encounters. Yep. One is when you get to the gate, maybe it's the exit of a land, you fight that land's creature, right? But if the monster's chasing you, land on the same space as you, it's also a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lose a turn scenario.
Yeah.
If you win, they lose a turn. If they win, you lose a turn. And so in order for that to happen, I think there needs to be opportunities for the monsters and the players to go back and forth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So there needs to be some empty space between lands, if that makes sense.
I don't think I'm following. So just let me step-by-step it out for a second. So everyone starts at the same time. Like, you know, you do whatever we need, whatever fun pizza-related themed mechanism, just decide who goes first.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe all the players go first and then all the monsters go first. But everyone gets, you know, one turn. It's 1-to-1. It's not like the players get a head start.
I think so. It might be that the monsters roll like a d4 or something and the players roll a d6 or something like that. And then because when you get to the boss, the checkpoint, you have to stop. And so the monsters can catch up.
Okay.
Oh.
And so,
right.
But you know what I mean? So that would be the equalizer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then along the way, if the monsters ever catch up to you, they would never overtake you. They would just reach you, and then you'd have a battle. And then for them to lose a turn or you to lose a turn.
Okay. Are all of the players playing on one as one piece?
I would say yes, except for I don't think that would be fun for kids.
No, yeah.
I think they want their own token.
Yep. Yes.
And so
Mario Party learned this lesson.
Right, because and this can be a competitive game, right?
Yeah.
Like they can, it's them versus the monsters, but they can just play to see who gets there first and wins.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It could also be in the end you can't defeat the pizza night or win the pizza night over until you all reach the goal.
Sure.
Right. So it could still be the cousin who got there first can still rah-rah about it,
mm-hmm.
but the game doesn't end until you're all there and none of the players lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's good. Well, and then ultimately that allows other players, once they've won, to encourage the other players to win, too. Because then you don't technically win unless everybody gets to the end and you get the pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if the pizza monsters eat the pizzas or whatever, then, like, you know, everyone loses. You want pizza. Okay. So, yeah. So each player has their own token. Each monster has its own token.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And there's many monsters. Maybe there's two monsters or, like, they're two of the people made of pizza, like they're twins or something. I'm trying to think narrowly what would be interesting competitors for the players that are not the monsters of the lands.
Oh, you know
what
I mean? They're
more like rival adventurers who are jerks.
That would have been the pizza night.
Pizza night could still be a jerk.
Well, right, but I mean, like, the way that Mark is describing this makes me think that the pizza night could be this rival.
Yeah, I don't know why I feel strongly about this, but I feel strongly that pizza night should be, like, in their tower, just, you know, like ruminating over their hordes of pizza.
More like Pizza Rapunzel.
Right. They should be a tragic figure.
I don't disagree with you. I think that's fine. Just the way you were describing it made me think of Pizza Night specifically because there's other pizza people, right? There's the one pizza guy.
It's a whole citizenry of pizza folk.
Made of pizzas.
Yep. And a pizza geode.
That's just a landmark.
I told you, it's a calzone.
You're right.
Yes. Calzone quarry.
Yes. Dang it. This is too good. Okay, so some pizza denizens that want the pizza for themselves selfishly somehow. These are the people that are going through the board trying to get to. And they will fight you or steal your stuff. Oh, they can steal your stuff.
Yeah.
That's a way to do it.
What if you're delivering pizzas? What if you're delivering pizzas to the pizza night?
You know what? I like it.
And
it changes a lot, but I like it.
Changes a whole lot. I don't like it.
Well, let me keep talking you through.
Well, the pizza night does nothing all day but order pizzas.
Okay.
Right? And that's still tragic.
Because they never get to the pizza night.
Right.
That's why the pizza night's ordering all these pizzas.
He's buying.
And you've noticed that these pizzas are not sliced. What gives?
Yeah.
The pizza night doesn't want them sliced. Okay.
I feel like the storybook version. The storybook is going to be doing a lot of work here.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just that does not bother me.
Right. So you start the game, and every player gets a stack of like 5 pizzas.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And you.
Oh, okay. This is good. This is really good. Okay,
Mark is like bouncing up and down.
No, it's great. It's I mean, it's pieces and parts and moving. And,
yeah. I know. Yes. I know. I'm so excited. Okay. We don't have to manufacture it. We can just make one. It's great. Yep. Okay. So. Right, so you start with 5 pizzas, and your goal is to get all 5, you know, as many pizzas as you can to the pizza night as a group, right? Mm-hmm. And because you are smart pizza delivery folks, you know you're going to split up, and each of you is going to take 5 pizzas because then you have a greater chance of not getting eaten by the monsters.
Yeah. Right.
And these monsters they're hungry for pizza, you know, and they live along this pizza-themed land, but every single part of the land only has one part of the pizza. And here you are coming through with a whole pizza.
Oh, yeah. Know?
Okay.
So, like, they can't resist.
Sense. Right. So you're a target everywhere you go.
You're a target everywhere you go because if you're in the sea of sauce, well, they don't have any crust there. They want your crust.
Yeah.
If you're in, like, let me look at the list. Pepperoni Pass. Well, they don't have any sauce at Pepperoni Pass. And you got a whole pizza, right?
Yeah.
So as you go through, maybe as you go through each of the zones, you pick up monsters who are chasing you.
Okay.
And
they're
at your heels the whole time, and you get more of them as you go.
Oh.
And if you lose to a monster, then they take one of your pizzas.
Okay. So they take one of your pizzas, but you can wrest it back from them.
Yes, there's got to be a way to get that back.
So that could be a case of, like, they grab the pizza, and you just keep rolling until you get it back, and then you can keep going.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Or
that could be the... Well, no,
then I guess there's no reason to have 5 pizzas. I'm just trying to find a way to make this unlosable.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you just try to get as many pizzas to the pizza night.
Well, but what if you lose all 5 of your pizzas?
That would really suck.
Yeah. And I'm
okay. Well,
I'm
this
a 6-year-old.
This might
really
be a
sad.
Little bit advanced strategy for a 6-year-old, but it could just be a case of you could lose all your pizzas if you just keep going. Or you can stay and get your pizzas back.
Oh,
but then it will take you longer to reach the pizza tower.
Yeah, I don't know if that's much of a trade-off. I'm trying to think of a way. Maybe there's a way for us to incorporate that cooperation again.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe there are – I'm not sure how this works, but, like, if there's a way for you to, like, give tokens to other players or something like that or go back and help.
That would be a case of, like, the players draw cards. And that they play a card instead of roll a die.
Well, they can
trade cards, but that's a little bit much. I think.
The way we had it before, it was when you beat a boss, you get some kind of a prize of some form.
Yeah,
you can use that prize to help people out.
Honestly, I was thinking that the way you get by a boss is you feed them a pizza, and they let you pass.
Oh,
and that's why you need 5 of them because there are 5 bosses, but there are more than one player.
Yeah,
so.
I see.
That could be so. So if you lose pizzas to the monsters behind you, you have to rely on your fellow players to help get, you know, take or let the boss, you know.
Oh, sure.
Right?
I have an idea.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I have 2 ideas.
Okay.
All right, so first part of the idea.
Idea the first.
Idea the first.
Yeah.
There are spaces in each of the zones where you can get an ingredient.
Okay.
All right.
And when you combine forces at the end of the map, like you can assemble those ingredients and make a whole pizza if you have all the pieces.
Okay.
And this could be a case of it doesn't really matter what kind of pizza it is.
Right.
It's just that you at the end, you and your other players make the pizza that will, you know, wow the pizza night.
Right.
Ah.
Yeah.
Also, are you traveling in the lands to get the ingredients to make the pizza so you can deliver it to the pizza?
Well, you start off with just this, you know, plain cheese pizza.
Ah.
And you pick up bits along the way.
Yeah.
Or don't.
Or you start off with a random set of ingredients.
Okay.
And then.
Right. More tokens.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you could trade back and forth with your fellow delivery person.
Right.
To make more full pizzas.
Okay.
Oh, and the more pizzas you deliver at the end, the better your score.
Okay, that's good. So you'll okay. Let's make it so that every player has one pizza.
To start out with.
Just one pizza.
Okay.
I mean, that's the way I'm thinking. So the currency of the game is ingredients.
Okay.
Because if it's ingredients and pizzas, then it gets complicated.
Yeah, okay, sure.
As much as I really love that. Everyone's delivering a pizza.
Yep.
And the goal is to wow the pizza knight. Now, the pizza knight can have a set of random interests that are like you draw from cards what they want on a pizza.
Yeah.
And that you could see that at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, okay.
So it's the order they place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They want a pizza with, you know, double pepperoni and, you know, green peppers or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And, or, you know, and this, they want some garlic knots and whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the order. And then you and the other players have to reach the end. So there'll be some lands that you'll want to stop at and get those things. But on a different playthrough, you're stopping at different lands.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right? So it makes it replayable.
Yeah.
Of course, that means that no matter what, in one play, a lot of the lands are not necessarily going. You're just trying to zip through.
Which works fine because we have the monsters nipping at you.
Yes.
Right.
So that still becomes, the play still happens there. And it could be that a monster, they will take an ingredient from you, mm-hmm. and then maybe you roll randomly or draw a card to say what they take.
Yeah.
And then that token goes to them. And then then they start going the other way.
Yeah.
And then you have to catch up to them. But of course, you roll a d6, they roll a d4.
Right. Yeah.
So it's inevitable.
The movement mechanics have to be changed from Candyland in order for this to accommodate this change.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
And
it's
so
Pizza Land, not
so,
Candyland.
But yeah. You know, you might want to stock up on some extra ingredients so that it's okay if monsters take a few. This is for the 10-year-olds. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Because ultimately, there's no way to lose this game.
Yeah.
Eventually, you will get all the things and go to Pizza Tower and deliver the order.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like how quickly – and a younger kid doesn't have to care about how fast it is. They could just enjoy doing it. And an older kid can try to be more efficient and do it as quickly as possible.
Right. So what I really like about that, at mm-hmm. first I was kind of like, well, the kids just want to make the pizza that they like.
Yeah.
But I actually like the idea that you draw like two cards of ingredients at the beginning of the of the deck or the beginning of the game, and like that is what this particular person likes. It's kind of like an empathy building exercise.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
not
like
everyone
that.
Likes the same pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think about then how this would. I'm trying to think about like the components and the way that it gets
so
set up. Right?
This is why I was thinking about one pizza per player, because you'd have a little cardboard disc in front of you with open slots for all the ingredients,
ooh.
And that's how you would keep track of it.
Ooh, that's good. That's
right?
good right there.
And that's your status card. Every player gets one.
Little cardboard pizza.
That's amazing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, so it would be like a double layer cardboard with like a circle in the middle.
Yep.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Then as you get ingredients, they would just go, they just pile them on.
Yeah, yeah,
you don't have to fit them in, you just go in
oh,
the
I like that. Yeah, they just go on the pizza and you can be creative with it if you want to.
Yeah,
yeah!
I love that idea.
Yeah.
You don't they don't have to fit into a nice slice or anything like that. You just like,
so good.
You just put it in your little beans and pie crust. That's cool.
Yep.
I like that a lot.
And we have a deck of cards that is just has all the different types. And so anytime you need to randomly pick an ingredient, you draw from that deck,
yeah.
whether that's what the monster takes or what the pizza knight orders or some other mechanism if you'd like.
Yeah. Yeah. So then like I could see there being almost like a star rating, you know?
Okay, depending on how well you do
like,
the order.
Yeah, the way that you like combine, and it would have to be like how many players are actually playing, but like a star rating, like you got, like when you drew for the pizza night, however many like ingredients that they like, he likes pepperoni and pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
And like you could say like, okay, if you get like 15 of the desired ingredients between the players, that gives you a 3-star rating. If you get 10, it's 2 stars. So,
sure.
Because that's something the kids understand and, you know. They've seen that in other games too.
Yeah.
And it's the pizza night filling out the, you know, on the app.
Yeah.
So we could have it where the pizza night could say they could order 3 pizzas and then those pizzas could be different.
Yeah.
And then the players have to negotiate who's going to be responsible for which pizza.
Yeah.
That sounds complicated.
It does, but it's cooperative, right?
Yeah, but is it cooperative for 6- and 7-year-olds?
Yeah. I mean, it's asking a little bit from them, but I don't know. Something about it. I want them to be rewarded for that
yeah,
effort.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But
yeah.
But it might be much.
I also want them to be able to, after like a couple times playing it through with adults, be able to do it on their own. And I don't know if they could do that. that yet. Not by the time we actually get done with the game. They might be eight.
I still think there could be an outcome that doesn't care, right? There's no lose scenario, right? Mm-hmm. There's just like the one star rating.
Yeah.
Well, right? I still like the idea of like you, if you get caught by a monster or whatever, you give them a, you can give them any, well, they take a specific ingredient, but another player could be like, no, take this ingredient instead and then throw it to the monster and the monster takes that. That would be cooperative.
Yeah, I think.
And it, simpler.
I think in the case of making decisions in the moment,
yeah,
I think that's harder on a kid
sure.
than deciding something and then following through with it, which okay. seems kind of counterintuitive. But I feel like which ingredient should I give up to this monster in order to maximize my potential to blah, blah, blah. I just draw a card and give them that ingredient, I think.
Yeah, okay.
You know.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair.
It's just moving where the decisions happen, I think.
Well, we haven't figured out how the movement works yet, right? Maybe that's the decision making.
Yeah. So I was thinking that. So here's what I was thinking about movement. Like, I was actually thinking that the game would be all D6s,
mm-hmm.
Monsters and players, but players, whenever it was their turn, they got to roll two and pick which one.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, cool.
Right, because you might want to stop at a certain spot, right?
Right.
Yeah. So Trivial Pursuit style, you can. Yeah. But what do you think about the idea of being able to go backwards if you want to?
I think that's cool. And I think what you could do is you could also have like a little like card that says forwards or backwards that they could flip over to remind themselves which direction they're going. But maybe they don't even need that. You just say,
yeah, I figure any movement they make can go in either direction. Yeah. So if they overshoot something, they can go back.
Yeah.
Or if they need to chase a monster back.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's still, I mean, like just the path conveys like the idea of a race and there are also monsters chasing you.
Yeah.
But I think that would be, I think it'd be really fun. And giving people choices, we might still keep some of these shortcuts.
Giving
them two dice to, and then they can choose which one, forward or back.
What's great about the shortcuts is if you don't have to hit all the lands, because you don't need all those ingredients,
mm-hmm.
then that the shortcuts become appealing mm-hmm. on a certain run through.
Yep. Yeah.
And I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, what if other players can... When the monster's running away from you and whatever, and you need to go get your ingredient back, what if other players can hit that monster and get an ingredient back?
I like that a lot.
Yeah. And they have the option to do that because they have to die, right, to choose from. And so maybe they get the role that you didn't end up getting, and you can use that, you know, to help your fellow player out.
Yeah. I think the monster never goes past a certain point.
Yeah.
So there's no luck of the die that would really wreck you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I like that too.
Maybe certain monsters are contained to certain zones, like you were suggesting. And I think the specifics of that can be worked out.
Yeah.
But just a momentary, like, I had an extra green olives. I didn't, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then once the monster reaches the end of that zone, they maybe disappear off the board, or maybe monsters spawn every turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or maybe once they reach back there, then they start chasing you again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something like that. But those are details. And something that makes it easy for kids to understand and do.
Because mm-hmm.
They need to play. They need to be the DM in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's very extremely deterministic and not easily forgettable. But we can figure that out.
So with the pizzas, I'm still not entirely sure on this. Right? So like, okay, so... We've had the cool idea with like the cardboard pizza
yep.
mm-hmm. with the ingredients that you pile in the middle,
yep.
which is neat.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. That one seems hard to me to parse, like whether you're actually meeting the requirements or not. So, I wonder if maybe you have instead just like cards with ingredients on them, and when you start the game, you like for the pizza night you draw like three, or you like there's a crust deck, and that gets crust. You know, and then there's like an ingredients deck and you pull out two ingredients. And so there's he wants this kind of pizza. It's got crust and it's got this and this on it.
Yeah.
Right. So deep dish or thin crust, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Or like, yeah.
That is thematically interesting, but I think that's adding some complication without making the game more interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of think just be draw four cards. That's what the knight wants on their pizza.
Yeah. I think I agree with that. Because it.
Okay.
Because I don't know that it, unless the mechanics of an ingredient versus a crust is different in some way, it doesn't change anything.
No, right? No, it's just thematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just thematic, and sometimes kids are fine with deviating from the theme. And
yeah.
Like,
well, honestly, players could be, they all represent different pizza joints, right? Mm-hmm. One is a thin crust place, one is a deep dish place, one's a Detroit style place. right?
Yeah.
So the little tokens or the cardboard
are themed on them,
right?
Oh,
and the pizza night doesn't care, at least in our conception, but it does make the players different.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, you choose to be the thimble in Monopoly or something, you could choose to be the deep dish.
Yeah. Yeah. So there would. So everyone's already deep the crust dish, is Dina. Given. What you also have to get are the other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then you might, if you have extra ingredients, like you were saying, and you and a monster catches up with you, you can throw a green ingredient at him and get away.
Yeah.
Cool. Games made, ship it.
Do it.
Honestly, this is not a nice games jam, but I kind of want to work out the rest of this and prototype it.
Oh, gosh.
Because, I mean, I know we say this every time, but I think it's another hit from us, I think. I really like this.
Well, I'm going to have to play test it.
Well, that's the thing, is I think we should really make something for your nephews.
Yeah, I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Dang it. It was supposed to be Ellen. It was supposed to be doing the work. We weren't supposed to be doing it, too.
Why do you think I brought it to you guys?
Yeah. Heck. Well, there's something about, the constraints we have, which is its audience, right? There's something really interesting about, meeting those constraints and considering those things, and especially when we think about the games we've done under Nice Games Jams, we tend to think of audience as just any person, and that's fine, but it also means that we have to think about the choices we're making is going to change who would be interested in it, but coming at it from the other way is a really fun exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
cool.
Do you have enough to put something together and give and maybe see if your nephews can give it a try?
I think so.
I hope so, because I didn't take any notes. Because this is a nice thinking and not a nice jam.
That's fair.
You'll have to listen back to it.
Yep.
That's great. Well, and just like a nice game jam, we had a bunch of ideas that we loved and then eventually found a better idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't think there were any bad ideas that came up in
the
context
of Pizza
Land.
No, it's Pizza Land.
Yeah.
How could there be any bad
exactly.
ideas? Hey, that's our show. For notes on today's game, if we decide to write them down, go to our website, nicegames.club. Visit us on Twitter and on Mastodon, at Nice Games Club, where Dale tweets and toots about game dev resources and photographs taken by game devs. We like hearing from you, so tweet and toot back, or email us, contact@nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. And if you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord, and say hello. Next week, we'll be looking at Easter eggs and player trust. But that's it for this week. So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
Hey, that's our show. For show notes and links, no, that's not quite right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.